Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise Yahweh!
Praise Yahweh!
I have to do that because my friend Yehoshaphat over there, ever since I've met him, that's kind of our trademark. He's a precious brother. I love him dearly, and whenever I see him talking to somebody, I'll come up and do that, and then he has to go into our little Praise Yahweh routine. I enjoy that immensely. Well, here's round two. Hallelujah. Boy, you made me cry in that last song, so I'm going to get you back. Hallelujah. What's happening here? How are we doing? Oh, man. See, these guys take my computer and they do stuff to it, and I wonder, I didn't know my computer did that. Whoa. Anyway, man, isn't it great to be in the house of Yahweh? I even enjoyed doing laundry with my wife today. I mean, how many men here like to do laundry with their wives? Hallelujah. Come on, guys. Hey, I tell you what, some little guy came to me last night, under good authority, mind you. Men, we have problems in the camp. Big problems, okay? Us guys have gotten together, we've done a little this, we've done a little that, we've had our little meetings and stuff. I heard last night, now I take it from good sources, this young man of Yahweh speaks the truth. Guys, they had brownies. They had Rice Krispie treats. And they had pans of cookies there. Now, being a good steward, being a man of Yahweh, I decided that I had to go up and check on my wife just to make sure she's okay. It's the truth, guys. I'm disappointed. We didn't even have coffee. Guys, come on now. Are we going to let our wives outdo us in these meeting deals? I can't believe it. No, but I heard that your wife makes great cookies. And from what I heard from another good brother, of whom I'm not standing next to, said that somebody gave him something and his wife took it and made it and took it to the women's meeting. Guys, come on. I had to go over to my brother's house last night and get some popcorn. I was walking around here and I had this thing about it. I had to have some popcorn. And I knew if anybody had it, Chuck would have it. He didn't let me down. Chuck is a blessing. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, we might even have some more tonight, huh? Oh, plenty. Popcorn meeting at Chuck, men's meeting at Chuck's house tonight. Oh, man, Yahweh is so good. I'm so excited to be here. I know yesterday I was still a little wet and had water in my ears and a few other places. But I got to tell you that I saw some pictures that the JP, John Paul, took. And I'm still wet behind the ears. I saw my wife, the determined, I mean, you know, I'm 6'2", 280 or plus, and my wife, little 5'2", 120, and it's not that we go down the water like that. I put all the ballast in the front to bring the front down, and you know, we had so much fun. I saw the pictures and the determination on her face. It was great. I loved it. She was smiling and throwing the oar around, and you know, I've done a lot of whitewater rafting in my day, and so I shot my mouth off, and so they said, Neil, you need to do this. And I thought, well, okay, why not? And so I'm following behind, you know, making sure if anything happens, we can be there. And he was the first one to get dunked. It was me, you know. And who was the second one to get dunked? It was me. And there are a couple of neat pictures of Vicky and I going over. They're great pictures. Matter of fact, hopefully next year there'll be headliners on Come to Sukkot 09. You know, have fun. Oh, you know. It was great. I enjoyed it so much. Immersion. Yeah, not actually by choice, but it was fun. We enjoyed it. Let's see. Yesterday I took so many rabbit trails. I don't really know where I started or where I left off. But I know the one thing, we talked a little bit about it before. We were talking about the law of dominion. Guys, a couple things I need to just tell you. As a Torah observant believer, what comes out of your mouth is written up there. If you confess Yahshua HaMashiach as your personal Savior, if He is the master and leader of your life, the words that you speak are written down. Now, I know there's some other scriptures in the Word that says something like, out of the mouth does the heart speak. I've read that before. Something about every idle word you must make account of. Now, there's this really good scripture that says, be swift to hear, slow to speak. All right? And slower to anger. Now, as Torah-observant believers, that's the way we need to be. You know, we need to guard. We need to guard our mouth. You know, I saw a dog once with a muzzle on it, and it was miserable. But at times, I would pray to Yahweh that He would muzzle my mouth. Some of the things I say sometime, I've got to immediately repent for. Because they're wrong. Judgment, slander, we talked about that. You see, when we speak something, how many times have any of us said, well, I promise I'll help you with that? And then 2 days later you go, oh my gosh, I forgot about it. Whether you did intentionally or not matters not, but you promised you would help them. That was the word. And if you're a brother or a sister, you're promising them, you are making a covenant with them, an agreement with them that you're going to be there. And then you let them down. Well, now, Yahweh doesn't take that lightly. We need to be, and of sinners I am chief. I'm going to lay that right out. I make mistakes, guys. What you're hearing me speak about is practical application of how I have failed in Yahweh's camp. Because sometimes the goodness of my heart overloads what I say. And I want to do those things. I want to help. I want to do that because that's what Scripture says to do it. But I'm not able to do it. I just can't do it. But yet, I say I want to do it. And I'll tell them. And they will expect me to be there, expect me to help them. And I won't be there. Not only is it a disappointment for the person that I promised, but what do you think it is? What do you think it is to Yahweh? He wants us to be people of our word. When we say something, He wants us to act on it. Because we're supposed to be covenant-making people. When I say, I'm going to do it, Bo, I'm going to be there and I'm going to help you. And I don't show up, not only is Bo going to be mad and call me long distance and say, where are you? Yahweh's going to say, Neil, where are you? You promised Him you'd help him. So to go back to that, the scriptures we read in Deuteronomy, you know, blessings and curses. I'm not going to go there completely today. But we all want to be a blessing and we don't want to be a curse. We want to bless people. We want to help them. We want to build them up. We want to strengthen them. But we can only do that if we are people of our word. That is so important in the law of dominion. Because what you speak is what you will become. If you speak lies, you will be a liar and you will not inherit the kingdom. You can get trapped and you can become in bondage to the very things that you say. And Yahweh can't use you. I mean, look at a guy like Jonah, all right? I mean, we're not even going to go through the stuff about him getting ate by a fish and puked up on the shore. But now think about this. Here's a man that goes to this town and tells these people that he didn't want to tell. I don't even know what he wanted about them. There's all kinds of stories out, but I don't know, so I'm not even going to say. But he didn't like them. He said, anybody but them guys. Now, come on, Yahweh. Well, anyway, you're the man and you're going, so get going. Went through all that stuff, gets there. He tells them what they got to do, and they made their animals do it. And they went in and they fasted and went in sackcloth and ashes. Yahweh heard their cry, and what did He do? He reprieved them. He said, okay, you're okay now. NIV, okay. For those that were near, that's Neil's International Version, so bear with me on some of that. But he forgave them. Well, okay. Then Jonah goes out, and he's sitting on the beach there, and he's hot, and he gets this big old tree to grow there quick, this big old leaf to cover him. NIV, just bear with me through here. And then a worm eats it, and he gets mad, and you never hear about Jonah again. I mean, Yahweh effectively just put him back up on the shelf. I mean, here was a guy that an entire city, now I don't know how big Nineveh was, but it's pretty good size. I don't know if it was as big as Chicago or New York or Miami or any place like that, but there were a lot of people there. It doesn't matter if there was How many? 120. That's a lot of people. And they all repented. I mean, what a revival. I don't know what the man said. I wish I'd have been here the way to hear him and hear how he said it. But every single person, they didn't even feed their livestock. They all fasted. And Yahweh forgave every single one of them. And then Jonah complained. That's like having strawberry shortcake and you complain because you have whipped cream rather than milk. I mean, here, Yahweh did an unbelievable move. And all he could do was complain about how uncomfortable he was. Is that the way we are? Do we do that sometimes? Do we feel that way? You know, to be a man of Yahweh and to be guided and directed in his path, or a woman, or a young person, it's difficult. I'm telling you guys, it's the toughest thing you're ever going to do. The absolute toughest. And it always starts with the words of your mouth. The words of your mouth. Another one of my dad's sayings was, talk's cheap, but whiskey costs money. Never liked whiskey, so it never cost me any money. But the principle is true. Anybody can say anything, anytime, anywhere, and people can either believe them or not to believe them. But when it comes right down to where the rubber meets the road, what's it worth to you? We can hear all the inspired messages in the world from here. Any one of us can get up and tell them about how Yahweh's changed their life. But if you don't see it in their actions and hear it in their heart, and they go out here and act like ruffians, what is it profiting? How many times have we seen great men of Yahweh in the Scripture do wonderful works and then fall, succumb to something stupid? It happens. Is it hard to keep your heart on Yahweh at all times, 24/7? As my wife looks at me all the time, 24/7. How about 5 minutes? 5 minutes so I can just let this guy know how I feel. 24/7. I'll tell you what, guys, to have a wife for me is good. My name, you know, my Hebrew name is Abia. Hers is Selah. Yahweh is my father to ponder. And I'm telling you what, guys, Yahweh gave me a blessing because she makes me ponder. I have to think. I used to just run at the mouth. I'm pretty good at running at the mouth now still. But man, I used to be really bad. But Yahweh makes me think now because of my wife. She helps me. She's my helpmate. You young guys that are looking for one, she's not for sale. All right? Hallelujah. How are we doing, Tom? Good? Having a good time yet? No? So I'm going to have to rough this out? Ooh, all right. I work good from the hip. I'm dangerous from the hip, actually. The law of dominion. L-A-W, the law. Or the teachings of dominion. How you doing, Chuck?
I was just wondering where you're
at. Oh, well, let me back up here a little bit. I'm sorry. How can you not see me being that close? See this big blur. Okay, sorry. The law of dominion. What it all boils down to is this. You got to watch what you say. Because you're going to be held captive to your words. You're going to become the very thing you think. You're going to become the very thing you say. You're going to become the very thing and the way you act. It'll have dominion over you. And you will do what Paul says when he talks about not doing the things that he wants to do. And doing the things he doesn't want to do. Now, has anybody ever been there besides me? Right in, everyone raised their hand except Chuck. Oh, oh, you first? Okay. I love Chuck, man. My son, who wasn't able to come, he and Chuck have formed kind of an internet bond. And he, oh yeah, how's Chuck doing? How's Chuck doing? I said, Chuck's doing good. Why don't you come see him? Oh, Dad, you know how busy I am. I said, yeah, I've been there, done that, son. One of these days. One of these days. So I give Chuck a hard time about that all the time. Chuck has ministered bravely to my son at times, and I appreciate that. Sorry, Bo. My heart's telling me this. This is the time
this is the time and the hour for us to rise up. There isn't one person here that can't rise up and be a man or woman of Yahweh. Not one of you can't do that. But this is the time. Now, I'm not a cheerleader, but I tell you what I am. I'm a man of Yahweh. And I want to see you all prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. Every one of you. And if I could, I would be with you whenever you got to cross a river or fight a battle, because they can get tough. But you know the best thing about our today's society? They have things called cell phones. BR549. Get a brother's phone number. Say, I got to do something. I don't really know what it is Yahweh wants me to do. Can you pray for me? And can you pray for my family? We got some things going on. I don't really want to tell you what it is. You don't have to tell anybody about anything. Call them up and say, hey, can you pray for me? We've got to become so close-knit. We've got to become such close brethren that when we sense in the Spirit that somebody needs help, we can pray for them. We don't need to be held and downtrodden and abused the rest of our lives. We don't need to be depressed. We don't need to be sick. We don't need to have bad things going on in our life when we have all these precious people here to pray with us. I mean, I know Scripture says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, but man, it doesn't hurt to have 15 or 20 people praying for you. This fellowship that we're attending on Sabbath afternoon, what a precious, and I told you guys a little bit about them yesterday, what a precious bunch of people. And only did I find out on the way down here when one of the guys called me that the leader's wife's kidneys have all but failed. Now, she never said a word. We never prayed for her. We never laid hands on her. We never even knew about it because she was afraid to say anything that it would take up everybody's time. Well, I'm telling you what, kidneys are pretty important. I mean, that's real important. And we need to pray for people like that. I mean, it's not a sin to be sick. I think it's a sin not to tell people that you are sick and that you need help. Every one of us need help. And it doesn't have to be just a sickness, be a broken leg or an ankle or a headache or you got a problem with your boss or any of that stuff. I mean, brethren, we have to rise up. We've got to become different. We can't be just this family over here. Oh, I can't wait to see this family. Oh, I can't wait to see them again at feast. There's email. Anybody ever heard of email? Yeah, a few have. Well, good. The rest of you, I don't think, are telling me the truth. No, I mean, we can email one. You know, can you pray for us? I mean, we got some stuff we need help with. Hey, I know that guy, he was up there and did that big guy, you know. Yeah, I'll email him. Well, what if I don't get it? Or worse yet, what if I don't pray? Is that breaking my covenant with you guys? Yeah, absolutely. We need to change our lifestyle. I know when Tom starts talking about food groups, I may end up losing that 60 pounds pretty quick from the sounds of things. Hallelujah. That's what we have to do, folks. We've got to learn that Yahweh has a door for us to walk through. And I think this feast is giving us that door that we can rise up, walk through to become what Yahweh's called us to become. And you can be 6 or 66 or 88 or 8. It doesn't matter. Every single one of us. There isn't one person in here any better or any worse than anybody else. Nobody's elevated. Nobody is up here and everybody else is down here. Let me tell you that man right there works hard. He has a precious family that he raises first. And then what extra time he has that he doesn't have with his sheep and his dogs, I think he got rid of his goats and ducks, he dedicates to you people. Us people. And we have to help him. It's time that we get off our derrieres and become men and women of Yahweh. This young man here doesn't have to take the whole load. We need to become covenant people. Now, how many times, for those people that have ever been in a church before, when they went into this church, you had to sign on the dotted lines? There you go. Anybody that... We signed on a dotted line to be a member of a church. That's a covenant. And when you leave that church, you've got to go repent to Yahweh for joining a covenant with a church. Little things like that. I tell you what, when you go to a bank and you sign on the dotted line, you're making a covenant with that bank that you're going to pay them back. If you don't pay them back, they're going to come get whatever it is that you just decided you needed. Right? They take that covenant stuff pretty serious. It's time we start taking covenant stuff pretty serious. The covenant between a man and a woman at marriage, a blood covenant. Most awesome thing in the world, where two become one. Unbelievable. I don't understand it, but I'll tell you what. I love my wife. And for those that are looking forward to that in their life, Yahweh's got a good one. I'll attest to that. I'll attest to that. But it's a covenant that hurt that my wife and I have affirmed to one another. And we have to make it work. It's up to us to make it work. Now, I'm not going to tell you just because you make a covenant with somebody, it's going to be easy. Now, I'm sure there are other people probably have never had one day of rocky road in their marriage. We have. My wife and I have struggled through some things, but we never lost sight of our covenant with Yahweh. We knew it was more important to Him that we do what's right than what we thought anything else. Big me, little you, whatever the case may be. We knew that, and it took us time. We've been married 33 years, hallelujah. And it gets better every year. We had so much fun canoeing yesterday. Now, 4 or 5 years ago, I'd have been madder than a skunk. I mean, that's the way I'd have been. Because my heart, I hadn't had heart surgery yet. You know, more things happen to me than flipping my heart out of my chest and plugging some new lines into it and sticking it back in there and sewing it up again, okay? Yahweh changed a lot of what goes on inside my heart. It has nothing to do with the way the blood flows. It has to do with what I think and how I act and the kind of man that I have to become. It's not an easy road. But you know what? It's pretty dang rewarding. Anybody ever walked on streets of gold before? Anybody? I tell you what, I'm looking forward to it. Can you imagine going to a place where the sun never sets? Wow. And where you could actually sing and people aren't going to go, play the harmonica for me, please. I mean, think about that. And that's our reward. Can anybody think of a better reward than that? Even cold ice cream on a hot day doesn't even come close to that. To walk the streets of gold. To have fellowship with our Creator. So who are you going to serve? It may be the devil or it may be Yahweh, but you got to serve somebody. And I'm going to come back to that over and over and over again. When you see me on the street, who are you serving? Hallelujah. You won't even want to see me anymore. Oh, there he is, the serve guy. But we have to think about that 24/7. I don't care if you're taking a fork out of a drawer. How are you going to set it down in front of somebody? How are you going to talk back to some, reply to somebody? How are you going to greet somebody? What kind of discussion are you going to have with your siblings? For you younger people, how are you going to act to your mom and your dad? When your dad says, "Don't think so," and you go, "What do you mean, don't think so?" In your heart, "What do you mean, don't think so?" And you're looking at your dad and you want to say, "You want to bet?" Now, maybe some of you don't, but that's the way I was. When my dad said something, and I mean he was a giant of a man, he'd look at me and I'd look at him and say, "He's not near as tough as he thinks he is." I challenged him one day and I found out he was just as tough as he thought he was. And I won't even go into that. But that's because I was a tremendously rebellious youth. But see, you can go from a rebellious youth to a rebellious adult and not even listen to the direction that Yahweh's sending you. And it's pretty easy to do. I've been there too. I've covered pretty much most of the gamuts. That's why I can speak so freely about them. Because everything I speak about usually happened in my life. There were times that I just thought I was the answer to all the Christian problems in the world, that I had them. I know you probably find that hard to believe, little old teddy bear me. But I knew I had the right answer, and I wasn't afraid to tell anybody that. And it got to the point people didn't even want me around because I had to tell them how to live their life. Now, when you stood back and you said, wonder how he's living his life, let's watch him. How come he doesn't practice what he preaches? How many times you heard that? Now, why don't that guy practice what he preaches? Well, one day Yahweh got a hold of me and said, you know, you kind of got the idea, but you're heading the wrong direction. Yeah, you know, you're a great guy. I love you. I sent my son for you, but you got to get her woed down, Neil. You got to get her woed down. You got to hear what I'm saying. You've got to breathe in the aroma that I have for you. That's hard. It was hard for a guy like me. Supposed self-made man can do it all by himself, done everything, been everywhere. Pfft, what a joke. What a joke. I have seen more talent in this room than I've ever ever been able to even handle myself. There are some people here I sense in their spirits are just ready to bloom in Yahweh, to be the man and the woman called at this hour, to stand up and say, no more. You know, what would happen if we'd march down, and I'm not a political activist, this is a scenario. If we'd march down to the local abortion clinic and say, and I know in a nice way, no more, guys, no more. And say, no more. And say, no more. Think about that. Do we have the ability to do that? Well, yeah, we do. But we leave it to some Christian groups that don't really do anything but collect some money and banners and stand out there rebuking the devil in Jesus' name and have no idea where they're going or what they're doing. But they've been told by the church it's right. You know, it's going to start with the movement with people like us on our face in worship asking Yahweh for direction. When was the last time we ever spent time on our face asking Yahweh which direction? You know, who are we going to serve? I mean, it's great to go out and have a sandwich and go to a restaurant or that's clean and serves decent food, and we think, wow, we're really doing something. And yet, we should be home on our face, asking Yahweh what we should do and what we can do and how we should help. I mean, everybody has a talent. Every person in here does. And Yahweh's called every single one of us to something or other. And it doesn't even matter what it is. Because it's like a big old puzzle. And he just picks one up and he puts one here, and then that one fits in there, and then this one fits here, and things just start to happen. I mean, I remember our first feast was my wife, my daughter, and myself. And we went to Estes Park. And we had a great time. At night, we'd gather around this little campfire, and my daughter would get out her guitar, and we'd sing, and all these people at this KOA camp would come out and listen to us. It was incredible. And that's all we did. But we had a great time. Second one, we went down to Taneyville. Met some great people down in Taneyville. There's some things going on we didn't appreciate, but hey, it was still fun. Then the next one we went was just a week after I'd gotten out of the hospital. And I told my wife, I said, Vicki, we got to go to the feast. And it wasn't because for any other reason as I had to do it myself. I had to go. I had to show myself that I felt really dirty. How could a man of Yahweh have a heart attack and bypass surgery? Yahweh, where are you? He said, where are you? How could I have a heart attack? All these people know me. I'm having new faiths plugged in my heart. What kind of a man of Yahweh am I? And I decided I had to go. I was never so blessed in my life. Because you know what? Yahweh said, you're the kind of man that I love. And those things happen.
I had a heart attack because of prior being disobedient to the Torah. And I'd broken every single food law, plus probably a dozen more laws, before I came to know him. And my body was in shambles as a result of that. But he loved me. Year after that was last year. We came here. Wow. I'd never seen so many peculiar people in my life at any one place. I mean, the Fourniers. Whoa, this van comes, these children keep coming out. I'm going, whoa, this must be their cousins. And no, it was a family. And not only that, but you should have heard them sing. Oh, man, it puts you in heaven. And they all respect to Yahweh. And then Bo and Sandy and another tribe. I'm going, good. You know, and then the Watsons and their tribe. And then all these other people start coming, and the children start coming out. And men, the Sunshine Girls. Hallelujah. The Sunshine Girls. And they would sing, and they would love Yahweh. They would chase around and have such a great time. I'm going, wow. And this year, whoa, what? 2-3 million people here. No, seriously, not 2 or 3 million. A couple hundred, you know, 180. And you see all these children up here just running. I mean, I just watching them helped me out. Oh, yeah, okay. I mean, having so much fun. It was great. And being able to go to campfire to campfire. That's great. But you know, I'm going to challenge you right now. Next year, Feast of Tabernacles 2009. Right here, testimony. What did Yahweh do for me since the last feast? What happened in my life? What did I do? How did I take the gift that He's given me? And what did I do? Was I able to further the kingdom? And that can be just as growing yourself. How did the Word act in my heart? What were the things that I saw, and what were the things that I was able to do and share with other people? And how was I able to grow? Men to their wives. Men to their children and their children's children. The young people to one another and other people that they meet. Every single person has an opportunity to further the kingdom. In any, it may be a kind word. Maybe a hug on somebody's neck. You know, I used to think, when I got into this Christian game, these people hugging on people's necks, had trouble there. That's okay, buddy. How you doing? Give him the handshake. And it wasn't because I thought they were goofy. I mean, you know, across the river type goofy. I couldn't take anybody getting that close to me. When you hug somebody, you better mean it. You love them. And that's the way I take a hug, that they love me. In all my sin and iniquity, they love me. I don't care what happened to you yesterday or today or tomorrow. I don't care where you've been or what you've done. I love you. And that's what it takes. Is that hard to love somebody? It wasn't for me. Because I didn't realize how much Yahweh loved me. You know, when that finally comes and smacks you upside the head, or better yet, when it comes into your heart, it's almost more than you can stand. You know, I remember weeping for days. All the stupidity that I was steeped in. And that's what it is, guys. You know, I mean, here is a personal testimony for the last 6 months. I haven't seen a live broadcast of a NASCAR event or a football game. Now, I'm telling you what, that's pretty good for this old boy. Hallelujah. Now, sometimes I'll slip over to ESPN online, see who won, or, you know, but I'm cutting that back too. I had to have that stuff. I did. I had to know who won. For what reason? Well, when I asked myself that, I had to go, wow, I wonder why I did need to know that. I didn't make any money on it. Was of no inherent value to me.
Well, maybe I don't even need to watch him. But you know, the roar of the motor and the roar of the crowd, it takes me back to places I shouldn't have been in. So why do I like him? Well, let's cut her off at the root, right? Now, if you want to get rid of dandelions, you just don't cut off the deal and throw it in a sack, do you? You got to take it out by the roots. Or that dandelion will be back to visit you again, spread its poison. You see, the words of your mouth are just like a dandelion. Boy, they sure look nice out there. Nice, pretty purple and waving out there. And then you don't do anything about it, and pretty soon the whole field's infested with it. See, it has a lot to do with the law of dominion. Because if you leave and keep yourself in the way that we go, and we don't guard our words, and we don't watch the covenants and agreements we make, they're going to be just like that dandelion. And Yahweh's not going to be honored. He's not going to be able to honor us. Our prayers will be hindered. We become sick, we become depressed, and we'll never know why. Most of it's our covenants and agreements that either we made or sins of the Father. You know, Scripture says a curse without cause cannot light. But if we give it cause, buddy, it's there. And it'll haunt you until you get down on your knees, ask Yahshua to help you with it, and remove it. Cut that stronghold. What do you think it was when Shaw was talking about that sin that so easily besets us? Them big things that happen? No. That reoccurring thing that happens time after time after time after time after time, called the sins of the Father. Inherited curses that may not have shown up even in anybody for three or four generations. That could be hundreds of years. But suddenly, boom, it raised its head, boom, you act a certain way, and it's got you by the throat. Now, you don't want to be that way. I can tell you right now, there's things that we all do that we don't want to do, and we don't want to be that way. But we're caught in that snare. And we have to ask Yahweh to help release us from that. I mean, we're going to walk through this scenario again. A guy that was born of a virgin, walked around, never did anything bad. Nothing bad. I never said a curse word. Never talked to anybody in a foul tone. Helped people. Built up their esteem. Encouraged them. Walked with them. If they needed a coat, he would give them theirs. I mean, over and over and over again, he did good. He did good. They took him and whipped him and beat him and hung him on a stinking tree. For what reason? We know the reason, but there was no apparent reason. Why do you think Pilate washed his hands of the deal? I don't want the blood on me. Well, yeah, ha-ha. You know, why do you think the Jewish nation has had all the trouble that it's had all these years? The law of dominion. Unrepentant sin. Now, there's other reasons, too, but we're painting with a very broad stroke at this time. We'll get out our touch-up brush here in a little bit. Those are the things in our lives that we have to look at. I remember a time in my life where I had to have the nicest, biggest, fastest, best-looking truck or car around. Had to. What would people think of me if it was anything less? That's a terrible thing to be saddled with. Cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars to be that way. Had to live in the best house, the prettiest flowers, the best furniture. Why? I look back at that now and I thought, man, why? Now, that doesn't mean you can't have nice things. That's not where I'm driving. But see, I was driven by a force that I had no idea what it was that was driving me. The bitterness and hatred and the curse that I had pulled on myself because of my relationship with my father put me in that position, that I had to be somebody. And that's what it turned into. The day that came up and slapped me in the face and I saw exactly what I was doing and how I was doing it, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe, how could I be so blind? Well, that's real easy because, see, I didn't have anybody over me. I didn't have anybody to talk to. I was, you know, by myself. We were by ourselves. We didn't probably listen to anybody, and we were always in an area of leadership, so who can ever tell a leader anything? I'm telling you what, pal, if you see a leader doing something wrong, you best be telling him, sharing with him. Say, you know, this is how I see the scripture, and can you explain this deal and so I can better understand it and learn from it. I mean, there's things I learn every day. Yes. Whoa, check it out. Now you guys are in it for it. I don't even know where we're at. We're just kind of winging it here for a minute. Go down to about 10 or 11. Oh, whoa, where are we at? Pull it there, 18, go back. Well, let's stay right, whoa, go right back there, right there. There again, that's our patented verse here. Okay, Romans 6:16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself servants for obedience, you are servants of the one whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? Folks, I really want you to write that on your mirror at home and understand the concept of who we are. We have two ways to go. We can either walk with Yahweh or walk with the enemy. It's going to be tough, but it's something that we can all do, and it's something that we can all overcome. There's not a problem with that. We can do that. But it takes some fortitude. It takes some willingness. Fathers, you know, as I was doing laundry with my wife this morning, not a big laundry guy now. I do want to tell you that. That's not probably one of my most favorite things to do. But I promised her last night, because she wanted to go up and do laundry up here, and I said, honey, there's other people that got wet, and I'm sure all their laundry's up there too. And well, I'll just help you with it tomorrow. So this morning when I got up, it was on my mind. I remember, Neil, you said laundry. Well, maybe she'll forget it. You know? Maybe she'll forget not to say nothing about it. Well, now that's going to be real hard to do because all the laundry's in the car. So this little thought went, shoo. Well, don't get her close to the car. But I said, no, you know, I don't have to do laundry. So I, with a very cheerful heart, said, dear, we're going to town to do laundry. I was probably a little more cheerful than that, but I said, we're going to do laundry. So I went and we did laundry, and I helped her. Putting stuff in the washers, throwing the quarters in, you know, taking out of the washer, pitching it over to the dryer. Hey, guys, you know, you make a good game of that. You know, how much can you pick up at one time and get into the dryer hole without any of it going on the floor? And there's a five-second rule with laundry, you know, 5 seconds before you have to rewash it. So you can take it and you can sling it over there and get the laundry going. Now, I don't do, after the drying's done, you know, just stuff the stuff in the sack, right? Guys, got to be folded. And it has to be folded right. So you leave the delicate stuff to your wife, and you just grab your shirts, throw them on a hanging, shake them out, shake your jeans out, fold them up, throw them in there. Make sure your socks. You know, guys, I found something out. It had to have been my children that were doing the laundry to my socks where they got all mismatched. Because my wife gets them to the right piece, and I find these two socks that don't look right together. I said, what happened to these socks? She said, well, obviously, one of each kind still ain't in the tent someplace. Oh, okay, I got you. You mean it didn't get ate by the washer? No. No socks got ate here. So, you know, here I am. First time I've done laundry with my wife in a really, 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 really long time. But I learned something about the missing socks. So the next time you're missing a sock, don't go to mom. Look in your tent or your sukkah or your room or under the bed, because you'll probably find it. However, I have not looked for those two socks, but I know that they're still forlorn and would like to meet one. Did you put the? Oh, okay. Now if I do that. Okay. I checked these out. Here's some great scriptures. And the first time I read this, which was last night. No, I read it before that. Now look at this, Proverbs 5:21. I'm going to get hung up on this a little bit. It says, for the ways of a man are before the eyes of Yahweh, and he considers all his paths. Uh-oh. We're in trouble. I mean, even the things I do in my secret place, which used to be in front of the TV, now it's not, so I've got to find another secret, maybe in front of the computer, you know. My secret place of where I sit down and think a lot. It says, all my ways are known. He knows all of my ways. They're before the eyes of Yahweh.
You know, if you can keep that right here and have it running on a marquee on the inside of your eyelids so that you see it as you walk down the street and as you talk to people, that he considers all your ways, that he sees them all, you know how different we would be? You know, you always hear the scenario in the Sunday churches of, if Jesus came in today, would you be different? And people go, yeah, you know, I really would be. Well, as Torah observant, Hebrews or Israelites, would we be different? Would it make a difference to us? Are we going to walk in the same reverential strength that we should all the time? Do we think about everything we do? We put one foot in front of the other, our path. Do we think about that? How we're going? Are we on the straight and narrow? Are we following that plumb line? You know, for any of the carpenters in here, a plumb line doesn't lie to you. Your eye can deceive you. You know, I mean, you can look on the plane of a roof or you're cutting jacks or something or a wall and say, yeah, it looks pretty good. But yet you can set that plumb bob up to it and man, it is way off. You know, the old time levels we used to use, which kind of dates us, is we'd put a little antifreeze in a big long hose and we'd put one end over here and we'd know exactly where it was over here. It just worked just like a level. You know, so you didn't have a 25 or 30 foot level, but you didn't have anything to shoot a level and line in with. That's how we would figure the plainest stuff. Well, see, Yahweh sees that in our life. He knows every step we're going to take. He knows how we're going to get to where we're going and how we're going to get out of there. You know, when we go in and we have meetings with other people, how do we represent ourselves? In truth and honesty and integrity? Oh, yeah, most of the time. Well, what about all the time? I mean, how do we represent ourselves? How do we show ourselves as men and women of Yahweh? Important. Now, Proverbs 5:22 and 23, it says, the wrong one is entrapped in his own crookedness, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline, and in the greatness of his folly, he goes astray. Pretty easy to go astray at times, even for a believer. He gets to believe in a lie, and he's enticed, he's pulled away, and suddenly, when you get done and you look up, you think, how did I get here? How in the world did I get here? Well, Yahweh saw where you were headed. Remember yesterday we were talking about how the men of Israel, when they met with the Gibeonites, who they didn't know were Gibeonites at the time, never asked from the mouth of Yahweh? That happens right there. There are many, many times that I should have asked to the mouth of Yahweh what I was doing and how I was doing it. Was it the right thing to do, or should I wait and do this or do that? And I just did it thinking, well, that's what the Word says, I'm just going to have to do it. Help me. We can make the Word say whatever we want it to say, whenever we want it to say it. Remember the little thing I held up a little while ago? We can call anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere, for any reason, on any decisions, on any help. Email somebody and say, boy, I'm up against the clock on this one. Can you pray for us? Hallelujah. I don't need to know what you're up against the clock on. I don't need to know what the problem is, but we'll pray for you. Now, then it's your obligation, because you just made a covenant with that person, to pray for him. Lift him up before Yahweh. Take him into Yahweh's own throne room and plead his case before him. And help him and direct him in the path that he has so chosen. Okay, Proverbs 28:13, another good one. He who hides his transgression does not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them finds compassion. Blessed is the man who always fears Elohim, but he who hardens his heart falls into evil. Two great scriptures again. You know what I found about the Word? It's full of great scriptures. What a teaching tool. You know, it's too bad it took me so long to understand I didn't have to hear it out of the Word, out of the mouth of some evangelist or preacher, and I could read it for myself. Understand what it said and the direction it was sending me. Yahweh's so good to his people. You know, he's written us a complete manual
to how to live our life, to keep us out of the snare of the fowler. I mean, we couldn't ask for anything any better, could we? Even if we did, I don't know what it could be. I mean, it's a way to live our life, to guide us and direct us, point us in the right directions, help us in all the things that we do. Okay, we're going to talk about involuntary service. That's like when you get signed up for the draft, you don't want to go, but you have to go anyway, right? Right there. Promising them freedom through themselves being slaves of corruption, for one is a slave to whatever overcomes him. We're talking about the law of dominion again. We are slaves to those things that overcome us. I mean, there are things in every one of our lives that we can't handle. That no matter how hard we try, and no matter what we do, it takes us down. And we think, especially us guys, most of us guys will think, buck it up, guy. I can do it. I'll hang in there. I'll put my head down. I'll just rush through this deal. It'd be cheaper for you to buy a football helmet. Because your life won't change. Do you see where I'm going? Do you see what I'm driving at about Yahweh's word and how he wants us to perceive it and how he wants us to use it as a tool? Just as a carpenter does a hammer or a square or a level or a mechanic, a wrench, a woman, a washing machine or whatever, that mixers. I mean, they're tools to point us in the right directions. I mean, I remember my mom pulling out the old wringer washer, filling it full of water that we'd had to carry by buckets and washing. You know, a crank, and which would agitate the water, and then we'd have to crank another deal that the clothes would ring. I mean, I was pretty small at the time. They'd ring out, and then they'd shake them and hang them on a line outside. Or in the wintertime, we'd do it in the one porch area, and then take them inside and hang them over a furnace vent. But see, they're all tools to get us to a point. And that's what the word is. The word is a tool to get us where? To the kingdom. Every chapter, every word in that book directs us on a path. No matter what happens, no matter how we are entrapped involuntarily or voluntarily, it gives us the way of escape. He has given us that way. Now, I talked a little bit about this yesterday about your children. Very important scripture. It says, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children, but bring them up in the instruction and admonition of the master." You know, you can make your children so angry that they will rebel, and they'll walk away. Why do I want to be like him? What has he ever done for me? Why do I want to be like that? And they will turn around and they'll walk away. Men, we cannot provoke our wives, our children, our friends to wrath. Come, let us reason. Let's talk. I mean, you have to discipline, and I'm not even in that point now, but we can't provoke them to wrath. And that's what Yahweh calls for us to do. We need to go that direction. We need to hear what the Word says. Romans 7, 18, 19, 20, and 21. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good. For to wish is present with me, but to work the good I do not find. For the good that I wish to do, I do not do, but the evil I do not wish to do, this I practice. And if I do that which I do not wish, it is no longer I who work it, but the sin dwelling in me. I find therefore this law, that when I wish to do the good, that the evil is present within me." You see, as I said yesterday, the enemy knows the scriptures even better than we do. And he will use every ploy that he can to trick us, to direct us in the wrong path. But Yahweh's word is a light and a lamppost unto our path. That is the direction we have to walk. And you know, it's a funny thing about forgiveness. It's tough to stand in front of somebody and ask them to forgive you. But once it's done, man, you feel like $1 million. I don't really know what $1 million feels like, but I imagine it feels pretty good. And I know that when I've had to do that with people, with brothers that I've wronged or offended, I dreaded doing it. It hurt me to go do it. Oh, man, you know, but when it was done, man, it was like cool water being poured over you on a hot day. And know that you got it and how good you felt after that was over. Wow, you felt like he remembers him no more. You know, we're the, you know, it's like a dog chasing his tail. He can never really catch it. The only ones that remember what we've done and the guy next to us. You know, we buffet ourselves with that all the time, and the guy next to us does. But wouldn't it be great if we didn't ever think about what it was we'd done once we asked forgiveness for it? But see, Satan will use that and turn it against us and hound us. Well, yeah, but you remember you did it this way that time. Well, yeah, but I'm forgiven. Well, yeah, but you better watch yourself if you do it again. I mean, he'll talk to us constantly, nag us, and entrap us and ensnare us. And we'll begin again, once again, to do the very sin that so easily beset me. And that we have to watch. We've got to be so careful in that. And we're going to move on through here. Oh, here's a great saying right there. The guy that controls the head controls the body. Or, NIV, the man with the most money makes the rules. All right? Now think about it in your own situation. Just ponder this for a moment. If some guy tells you a bunch of hogwash and you believe it, what do you become? Hogwash. But now if somebody comes and tells you the truth, what do you become? Righteous. So important when you sit down with one another and reason and get the word out and understand what it says to stay righteous, to stay honorable. You know, I've been in a lot of conversations and chat rooms and stuff like this about stuff that doesn't really make any difference at all. It's not a salvation issue in my book. Probably in some people's book it might. And they say this and they say that. You know, that's great. Well, yeah, but what do you think about it? I don't think much about it. You know, I try to follow Yahweh and do the best I can, and that's an issue that right now I just can't talk about because I don't know enough about it. But you get four or five guys together, one guy's got to talk to the other guy. Oh, yeah, well, what about this? Well, what about, I don't know, I don't really care to discuss it. Let's talk about something we can agree on, or let's study what this says. People can get into those things and become enemies, bitter enemies. Oh, we can't fellowship with them because they think this, or they think that. Well, let's sit down and reason with them. Let's see, why is it they think that way? Maybe there's something I should know. Or maybe they should know what I know. Come, let us reason. Sit down and commune heart to heart. You know, it's really hard to sit down and talk to somebody face to face until you learn to speak to them heart to heart. There's a big difference. I've sat in a lot of business meetings, tons of them. Them guys bloviate on how much they know and how great they are and who they are and the position they have. And you know what? It's going to burn. It'll burn. Honestly. In case you don't, just take my word for it. I have never, ever seen an armored car on the way to a funeral. And I never saw that money buried with the guy that owned it. Or his title or his position or his little thing on his door that says president or vice president or executive in charge of the vice president's bathroom. Whatever, you know. I never see that tattooed on their coffin. When they die, they die. You know, and then what is it worth to you? You see, we worry so much about who we are and what we are and who we got to be. I'm going to tell you what, it don't matter. I think I talked about that. Yeah, it does not matter. You know, when I watch these youngsters play outside, and I remember Yahshua says, you know, come unto me as a little child. Man, I'd like to run out there. I can't. My knees are shrapnel. I would love to run and just play like it. Kneel at your age. Okay, let's go out and run with the children. You know, no, I'm not going there. That's another trail. If you want to see how Yahweh loves his people, watch the children play together. You know, watch them play together. They don't care. So what? Let's go have fun. Let's run 800 miles an hour for 4 hours out there and never slow down. You're going, are they going to get a drink of water? Are they going to fuel themselves up? Where's the pump at? You know, are there any? They run and have fun and they scream and they holler and it's they're having, it's a tremendous time.
And I'm sitting over there going, man, I wish I could run. Matter of fact, I wish I could walk fast. I mean, think about that. To come unto me as a little child. Well, yeah, but I'm giving the lesson. I gotta look important. If I get to looking important, you guys, somebody come up and smack me, okay? Easy, Bo. I know you're trying to get out of your chair. I mean, but see, that's what we want to do. We want to be some. We want to become somebody. We want to be somebody. Man, let's be as a little child unto Yahweh. Come to Him that way. Ask Him to open our hearts. To show us our desires. And I mean, I want to know the person here that does not have a desire. Let's see the hands of the person that has no desires in their heart. How about that? That means everybody has desires. You know, and I'm one guy that can't meet them. I'm sorry. But I read this story one time in this little scripture that says that someone loves you enough to give you the desires of your heart. And all those people said, amen. The desires of your heart. Well, now that is conditional, you know, of course. But to a Torah person, a guy that believes in the Torah, being observant in the things of the Torah, being Torah observant, there it is, we know what our desires are. Our desires are to walk with Him, to strengthen Him, to be encouraged by Him, to strengthen and encourage other people. I don't care if it's Frank in Florida or Tom up in Michigan or Stephen in Oklahoma at this point. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where we are, who we are. He wants to give us the desires of our heart. And you know, Scripture says He'll do that. But there's something about keeping His commands. Uh-oh. There's that word again. Keeping His commands. We have to think about that. How many commands are there? How many are there in the Tanakh? 613? Now, how many other ones are there besides that that we haven't really counted that suggest that we do things properly? Yeah, 1,065. Now, I have a question to see who's a big history guy here. How many laws do we have in the United States of America? That's the best answer. Way too many. And how many of them are observed? Very few. But Yahweh said, if you keep all His commands, what's He going to do? He's going to bless us. Well, now, what do you want to be blessed with today? The fact that I love Yahweh and He blesses my heart. I don't ask for much. We have a roof overhead. We have a charming house up in Iowa. Two-story colonial. It's a nice house. We have a decent car. That's a blessing. I have 7 of the most beautiful grandchildren in the world. I'm a blessed man. Money could never replace that. I have a wife of 32 years that after 32 years still loves me. She is a woman, a very virtuous woman. Yeah, 33. Hallelujah. See, when you have so much fun, you just forget the time. Hallelujah. There you go. That's right. Good quiz. Good quiz question. How many years was Neil married? Well, let's see. If you take out the moon year of... can I ask you guys a real serious question? Do you understand where I'm going with all this? Are you getting my message? You know, I would hope no one has problems. That no one has to go through a fight. Has to battle anything. But you will. I know you will. And Yahweh's word said that He is there to help us. And He's there to keep us. He's there to guide us. And there's all of us other believers that believe the same way that would love to pray with you. Love to pray for you.
concerning whatever it may be. And you know the neat thing about praying for people? You don't have to have any idea what's going on. Because it said back there a couple scriptures ago that he knows all our ways. He knows what's going on. But I need the brethren to pray for me. I have some things going on in my life I need prayer for. Before you guys dip your head at night, remember me. You know, I could go on and tell you all kinds of stories and make you laugh and make you cry. But I don't know if we need to do that anymore. I think it's time for us to just sit down and really reflect as to what this feast is going to mean for us. Are we going to be different people when we leave here? Or is it going to be the same old, same old? My prayer is that it isn't. My prayer is that when everybody leaves here, it's going to be like a pillar of fire going before you. And then we see these vehicles branching off. And if you could see it from 60,000 feet, you'd see these little flames going to all different parts of the country. As Yahweh is leading you in what He has called you to do. And every one of us, I'm going to tell you again, every single one of us are called. We had that blessed man, Key, right? Or K? From Germany? Kai. Kai. I'm German ancestry and I don't even know how to say a German name. Kai. I mean, can you imagine? I don't know what it cost him. But I asked him, I said, well, Kai, what did you come over here for? To see something? He said, no. I came over here to get baptized. I said, what? Yeah, I came over here to get baptized. Well, see, as an engineer, I would say, there's water in Germany. Surely there's a man of Yahweh in Germany. Would be a lot easier to hook up with somebody in Germany. I don't know why he came here, but he was led here of Yahweh, and he blessed every one of us that met him. And those, he did. What a great young man of Yahweh. Can you imagine a guy buying 16,000 plants of berries and planting them in his farm? And he said, well, I may have planted a few too many. He said, it's been pretty overwhelming. But he quit what he was doing, and he's a berry farmer now. It's amazing. You know, it's amazing. You know, I would hope someday I can get out of the construction field. I mean, I know you guys probably think I know everything there is to know about construction. But the more I do, the more I don't know. Other than the fact that I do know that when Yahweh sends us someplace, we're there to not build with wood, with hay, with stubble that burns. But we're there to build with the Torah. We're to change men's hearts. We're to establish another remnant in another area of people that love Yahweh. And all of us are called to do the same thing. I'm no different than you guys are. I'm not some strikingly handsome, debonair looking evangelist. I'm Neil. You know, I'm just Neil. And that's what guys, that's what Yahweh's called you guys to. Be yourself and do what He's called you to do. Doesn't matter where you're from. If you're 20 minutes from here or 20 hours from here. The message is the same, folks. The message is the same. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to pray for y'all. Okay. Are we online?
Yes, we're online.
We're online?
Not many people.
Well, praise Yah. Guys are there coast to coast, border to border, and around the world. Hallelujah. Father Yahweh, my heart weeps for all the brethren, Father, that are people that are here, people that couldn't be here, that are called after Your name. Father, I so ask that you would light a fire in each one of their hearts. Father, that you would guide them and that you would direct them, that you would make their path clear. Father, we'd begin to work as teams. Father, one sharing and one praying, one for another. Father, we can call on you and that you can send your messengers. You can protect us. You can call us by your Ruach to pray one for another. Father, that you would make us strong vessels. That you would guide us. Father, I don't ask for a ring in my nose and to be led around like an animal. I choose to be guided by your Ruach HaKodesh. That he would show me your calling. That you would inspire me with your word and that you would put the right words together at the right time for the right people. Father, for all the brethren, big, small, little, it doesn't matter. Touch them all magnificently this feast time. Show them the true meaning of Sukkot 2008, what you've called us all here for. Father, that we would never cease praying one for another. You call us to pray without ceasing, that you would just quicken us to pray at all times. Father, these are perilous times we're living in, and it's not looking like it's going to be much better. But Father, with your mark and your seal on our foreheads, we can stand. We have nothing to be afraid of, and we will worry for nothing. For you know the very thoughts in our hearts, and you will take care of us. You know the desires in our hearts, and you will grant them, Father, as we follow your Torah. Father, make us all wanting to know your word. Father, it's easy to claim scriptures and throw them up and throw them around. But Father, when your servant Moshe said to take these commands and write them upon your heart, Father, write every one of your words upon our heart. Show us your direction. Father, make us all people a sovereign nation again after your heart. To those that have broken hearts, mend them. To those that have broken bodies, mend them. Father, to those that have needs and cares, meet them. And Father, then restore unto us next year at this time wonderful, beautiful testimonies of what you have done. Great stories of faith. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for blessing me and my wife, allowing us to come here to meet new people and restore old friendships. Father, bless Tom and Kelly and their children. Father, whatever we can do to begin to become stronger with him and to lift him up and to keep him in the right direction and in sharing his life and your goal in his life with us. Father, we thank you for those that have played music, kept us online, and kept the music boards going, the great food that we've had, and your word. Most of all, your word. Instill in us your word so gently and so carefully. Cut away the fleshy parts of our hearts and enable us with your word. Yahweh, we love you. We worship you. We glorify your Kodesh name. Bless us of the remaining days in this feast. Father, and get us all home safely. Honestly lead us by your pillar of fire. Restore in us that a new spirit of being conquerors, being overcomers. For we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb, your only begotten Son, and the word of our testimony, the works that we have performed through you. Father, I ask all this in Yahshua HaMashiach's name. And his people said in one big loud voice, Amen. and hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. Blessings to you guys. Thanks for being here. Hallelujah.